Welcome to Charis Daily Live Bible Study. Join believers from around the globe to study the Bible with Andrew Womack and instructors from Charis Bible College.
Good morning and welcome to our Charis Daily Live Bible Study. My name's Claire and I'm on staff at Charis, and it's such a wonderful place to work, and it's an honor for me to be your host today. So I know you're going to be blessed because we have an amazing speaker today. So for those of you who aren't familiar how this show works, I'm going to go through a few announcements and then I'm going to hand you over to Barry, who I know without doubt is going to give us an amazing teaching because you're an amazing teacher. So, welcome, and we're live 5 days a week. So Monday and Friday is 10 a.m., Tuesdays and Thursdays is 6 p.m., and Wednesdays 7 a.m. in the morning, and that's all mountain time. So hopefully you can calculate out your time zone from wherever you're watching, and you can catch us live multiple times a week, because if you are watching live, you can interact with us, and you can do that by going to the chat section on whatever platform you're watching on and submit your questions. So while Barry's teaching today, if he says anything that just triggers a question or you get a question in your heart, go ahead and submit it. And the last 10 to 15 minutes of this show, we're going to answer as many questions as we can. And sometimes so many come in and you guys ask really good questions. But if by some chance we don't get to all of them, then you can tune back in on Tuesdays at 3 o'clock, and we do a Q&A live roundup where the questions that we don't get to during the week are answered. So that's another thing to look forward to as well. If you need prayer for anything, please don't be alone. Don't be alone while you go through something. We have a wonderful team of prayer ministers who are waiting to take your call. So you can give them a call at 719-635-1111 and have a chat with them. They will pray with you. We also have like over 200,000 hours of material and resources that they can bless you with. So if you tell them what you're going through, I know they can send you something that will bless you. And one more announcement quickly. If you are a partner with this ministry, huge thank you to you. Obviously, we put on these shows and programs and everything we do pretty much for free. However, it does cost money to do this. So by partnering with us, you're helping us to reach so many more people. So I just want to say thank you very much. And if you'd like to donate or become a partner with the ministry, you can call 719-635-1111. Did I get that right? Mm-hmm. Yes. Or you can go to awmi.net/give, and they make it so easy for you. So thank you again for being a partner. You guys are such a blessing. And speaking of blessings, hi, Barry.
Hi, Claire. How are you?
Wonderful. How are you?
Great. It's good to see you again.
Yes, and it's good to see you too. I'm looking real forward to what you're going to share with us today. But for those of you who don't know who Barry Bennett is, he's one of our senior instructors here at Charis. We were just talking about how many lessons you teach, and he teaches so much. If you've never heard him, and today's the first time, you guys are going to be super blessed. And if you are familiar with Barry, then you know today is going to be amazing. And are you speaking at the campus days?
I am.
Excellent. Yes. Yep. So I'm looking forward to that.
Amen.
So I'm going to hand this over to you, sir.
All right.
Yes, I'm about to take some good notes.
Okay. Glad to be here. Happy to be with all of you. And I hope this is a blessing for you. What I want to talk about this morning is the established heart. And I'll explain where I got that title. But I want to read to you first from Luke 21, 25 and 26. Luke 21, 25 and 26. And Jesus is speaking and he's prophesying about the last days and the end times. And he says, there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts, and this is what I'm going to major on, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And as we are in the days that we are in the particular climate, the political climate, the economic climate, different shortages of things. We went through the toilet paper shortage and things like that. And, I was able to witness a lot of people, the term we use, freaking out, or their hearts were failing them from fear about things of that nature. And I thought, man, We haven't even begun to get into the really hot times here. So we have got to have our hearts established and not fall into fear and fall away from God because of fear, or enter into doubt and unbelief because of fear. It is so important that our hearts be established. And I'm going to give you some things in ways that we can have our hearts established so that we are not victims of fear. Let me read to you from Psalm 112. And this is where I'm getting my title today, Psalm 112, verses 6 through 8. And it says, concerning the righteous man, it says, surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. There's my title. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. And so this psalm, I won't take the time to go through the whole psalm. It's a powerful psalm about the characteristics of a righteous man. But it says he will not fear. His heart is established. Mm. And then what we read about from Jesus is that men's hearts will fail them from fear. And they'll fail them from fear because their hearts haven't been established in a number of ways that we can be established. I want to be established. And part of my testimony, for those that are familiar, that I had a death sentence from cancer a couple of years ago, and was told that I had, if I hadn't come into the hospital, I would have been dead in 2 days. And then after that, it was very touch and go. So the thing, the powerful thing for me, Claire, was that when I got that news, I got a word from God that I wasn't going to die. I was going to be okay. I would get through this. I didn't know what this meant, but I never feared. My heart was established.
That's awesome.
I never feared going into being dead. I never feared if I were to die, that's, praise God, that's better. But I didn't fear death, and I knew that I was going to live. And that gave me a peace that in spite of all of the things I had to go through physically, I had the peace of God the whole time. That was, for me, my heart being established.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not just freaking out over the news, you have 2 days to live or you're going to die within a week or something like that. So when we see people living in fear, there's the fear of sickness, there's the fear of economic loss, there's the fear of losing your job, there's the fear of divorce, there's fears, all kinds of different fears that people have. And fear is an immediate red flag. It should be an immediate red flag for us that we are not established in the things of God. Because if you are established, you shall not fear. God has not given you a spirit of fear, amen? But of power and of love and of a sound mind. One of the major things that God has spoken to me in recent months is that we are going to be in tune with what feeds us. Let me explain that, that you are going to be sensitive to the voices that you pay most attention to. If you're fed by the news, if you can't stay away from the news, if you have to know everything about everything and all the terrible things that are going on, if that's what feeds you, then your spirit man is going to be in tune to that and not to the things of God. And so your spirit man is going to be in fear because that's what's feeding it. You're feeding it the news. If you feed your spirit man and your whole soul and body, if you're feeding on entertainment and you know everything about every show and every actor and that's what you live for is knowing that, then that's what's going to, you're going to be in tune with that, and you're not going to be hearing God because you're not in tune with God, you're in tune with entertainment. When I was a kid in the 60s, I was a big follower of basketball, of the NBA. Literally, I could tell you every player on every team, how tall they were and what their scoring average was.
My son can do that.
Yeah, that's what I was in tune with. Yeah. But, you know, I was in grade school, junior high, a little bit of high school when I was doing all of that. But today, I'm in tune with the Word of God.
Yeah.
And that has made all the difference in my life. So I want to talk about the established heart, and I want to give you several points here. And I was talking to Claire before the show. I think I could make a course out of this, an 8-hour course. So this will be rapid. I'm going to give you the highlights. But I want to talk about what our heart needs to be established in. How do we establish our heart? And what does even an established heart look like? Let's go to Psalm 27:1. Psalm 27:1, David says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh," that's pretty graphic, "my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. This is the established heart. Now, I understand David is talking within the context of his kingdom of Israel and the attacks against him, and I understand the context. But nonetheless, regardless of the context, regardless of what's going on in your life right now, are you in fear or is your heart established? Have you made the choice to not fear? Have you developed that? Have you exercised that? Or does everything that happened challenge you to go into fear, to doubt, to unbelief, or whatever the case may be? That's what an established heart should look like, is that though circumstances could be crazy all around you, you can have the peace of God. You can be in peace. And I understand this now, especially through what I've been through. I had peace. I wasn't always happy. I wasn't always in a good mood, but I had the peace of God. Peace is not circumstantial or emotional. Peace is spiritual. And that's the established heart. All right, so let's look at these different ways that we can be established. The first point I have is a heart established in righteousness. One of the most powerful revelations I ever got was the revelation of righteousness, that I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Isaiah 32:17 says, the work of righteousness will be peace, praise God, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. How many of you want the peace of God in your life? And I'm not talking about an emotion that comes and goes. I'm talking about a foundation to live from, the peace of God, that because of righteousness, you have no fear of God. You don't think that God is out to get you. You don't think that God is beating you up. You don't think that God is testing you. You're not in that place of continual fear and shaking with God. Mm-hmm. You understand God is for you, that He has washed away your sin, that you are not guilty. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, that He has made us the righteousness of God in Christ. This is having your heart established in righteousness, to where you don't have fear of God in the unhealthy way, and you certainly don't have fear of Satan. You don't have fear of bad news. You don't have fear when they say you're going to die. All right. The Lord just told me I'm not going to die.
Yeah.
Because my heart was established in righteousness. This is so powerful. And I see so many Christians that they're afraid to pray because they feel guilty about, they yelled at their spouse, they kicked the dog, they did this, they did that, they got a speeding ticket. I can't go to God. I can't pray. I feel guilty. Your heart is not yet established in righteousness. And this is a place we need to be, all of us. It's a fundamental thing. I could speak for a long, long time about this, obviously. But I have more points, so I want to move on. Okay, So get your heart established in righteousness. Seek out what it means to be the righteousness of God in Christ. A next point would be a heart that seeks the Lord. How to be established in the things of God without fear. I will not fear. Have a heart that is seeking after God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Yeah. There you go. And things shall be added to you, not taken away. So let's go to Psalm 34:4. Psalm 34:4 says, I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. You can be delivered from fear from just a heart that is focused on seeking God. Go back to what I said earlier, your heart will be in tune with whatever feeds it. If you're being fed by the news, if you're being fed by entertainment, if you're being fed by gossip, if you're being fed by ungodly things, if that's where you spend your time, then you're going to be in fear. But this says, I sought the Lord. And He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. That's the kind of relationship I want. I don't want to live in fear. David said, though there be wars against me, I'm in a good place. I'm in peace. I have peace with God. I will not fear. And that's the established heart. And boy, folks, we need this. I need this in the day in which we live. We have so much going on around us, and in the news, it just filled. I don't even read the news. I will scan the headlines so I know kind of what's going on. But I don't need to know every detail of everything and every conspiracy theory and all. I don't need to know that because I'm not living on that level. I feel sorry for people that do. But I have chosen to live in the Spirit and in the peace of God. I seek God. I have a revelation of His righteousness. So I feel like I'm in a good place and my heart being established. Next point, number three, a heart of praise. It is so important to be someone that praises God, that is thankful.
Yes.
Psalm 56:3-4. David says, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you, in God. And then in parenthetically, he says, I will praise his word. And there we have that idea. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear. Praise God. What can flesh do to me? And so you can see, and obviously the Psalms are filled with praises and thanksgiving to God. David was a man of praise. David was a man of thanksgiving. And a heart that is established in thanksgiving is going to not be shaken easily. And we're not talking about necessarily circumstantial thanksgiving. If everything goes your way, if everything's just right, then maybe I can thank God. No, thank God now. Praise God for life and breath. Praise God that the grace of God is available to you. All the promises of God are yes and amen. Praise God that he's seated with you and him, with him in heavenly places. Give thanks to God, though your circumstances may be adverse. They won't get better if you complain. The more we complain and the more we are critical and gossiping and, oh, woe is me, things will not get better. Your words have power. But if we are giving thanks, if we are praising, if we are established in praise, that our life is going to be a continual praise and thanksgiving to God all the time, in spite of whatever is going on, that will establish your heart to where it says, he says, in God I have put my trust. I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear. This is a powerful place to live. It's a way to live that has to be established in us, in our spirit man. We cannot keep living from our emotions, from our five senses. We have to develop our spiritual capacity to walk with God, to seek God, to understand righteousness, to be a person of praise and thanksgiving. These are the things that will keep you in the last days when Jesus said, many men's hearts will fail them for fear. Yeah. I don't want to be one of those.
No.
I absolutely refuse to live in fear. Whatever happens, happens in one sense of the word, but I am not going to be moved by fear. I am not going to go into doubt and unbelief. I'm not going to fall away from the Lord because of circumstances. Okay, number four, a heart that is fully persuaded in his goodness. How many of you believe God is good?
Amen, yes.
And that's not just a phrase.
No.
That's a spiritual revelation of the goodness of God for his children.
Yep.
We want as parents to be as good as we possibly can be for our children. And we fail many times and we're not perfect in that in many ways, but God is perfect and he doesn't fail.
Yes.
And he does want to do good things for us. One of the things he told me while I was in bed in hospitals and what have you is that, Barry, I am not through blessing you. I said, praise God.
That's awesome.
Praise God. I'm being blessed daily. I mean, I have a heart established in giving thanks. And I believe God is for me. God is not against me. Let's go to Psalm 27:13. Psalm 27:13 says, I would have lost heart. I would have, but I didn't. Mm. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Mm.
Praise God. What do you believe? What is your expectation? Are you losing heart because of world events or family events or economic events? Are you losing heart? And David said, I would have lost heart, but I believed I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And I believe that in spite of all that goes on around us, we can see God's goodness. We can experience God's goodness. Do you know that the promises that Jesus made to the disciples about abundant life and that your joy may be made full and ask what you wish and whatever you desire and speak to the mountain, all of these promises were made in the midst of Roman occupation and Roman oppression. And then he goes on to prophesy about the last days and how they will be a time of shaking. What my point is that didn't stop Jesus from making promises about the abundant life. Or in other words, just because the world is falling apart doesn't mean you can't enjoy abundant life and your joy being full. The promises are not contradictory. It's not like, well, you can't have that because we're going through this. No, you can have that when you understand that it's coming from your established heart. It's coming from a place of peace. It's coming from the righteousness of God. You can have an abundant life in the midst of a prison camp. You can have the joy of the Lord wherever you are. Paul and Silas had the joy of the Lord in prison.
Yeah.
They could have been moaning and complaining and criticizing each other. And why did you do this? And why didn't you do that? But they were singing praises unto God, and God shook the prison and all the chains fell off and the doors opened. There is a power in this. And we talked about a heart that's of praise. And the point just before this one. And so a heart that is fully persuaded in his goodness, we're in number four, I would have lost heart unless I had believed I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And this is, it's a choice, folks. I don't know how, I use that word a lot, but we have to choose to walk in these truths and cut off all the other distractions, whatever you need to do, whatever has been feeding you, don't let it feed you anymore. Let these truths, these promises, these declarations feed you. Meditate on them. I hope you're writing some of these down so that you can go back and look them up and meditate, pray over them, ask God to reveal these things to you. Amen. Number five, a heart that is not surprised by the times in which we live. A heart that is not surprised by the times in which we live. Listen to this in Luke 21:9, Jesus says, but when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately. Or he's telling them, as I just mentioned, he's made these promises of abundant life and joy and all of these things. But he says, when you hear of wars and commotions, don't be terrified. It's a choice to be terrified. We choose to get emotional. We choose to lose our peace. We choose to say, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? And wave our arms in the air and run around. Those are choices. Or you can choose to not be terrified. But it's hard to choose that if your heart is not established in these things that I'm talking about. This is so important. We need to do this now before things get really weird. We need to get our hearts established now in the things of God so that when things do begin to fall apart, if that happens in our lifetime, that we won't fear. We will not be terrified. Our hearts will not fail us from fear. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, Psalm 118:6. I'm still on the same point. Psalm 118:6 says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Listen to that declaration. That is a choice. David is saying, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear.
He keeps saying that. Every psalm you've read, it's again and again. What can man do to me?
I picked these on purpose.
Awesome.
but it proves a point that David's heart was established. Yeah. He was a man after God's own heart. Was he perfect? No. But he had a relationship with God that we can see, which established his heart, which gave him the faith to make these declarations. The Lord is on my side. He is good to me. His goodness is still seeking me out. Goodness and mercy follow me. Amen?
Amen.
And so we have to come to a place where we decide, I'm not going to be moved. I will not be shaken. They can tell me I'm going to die, or they can tell me this or tell me that, or the economy or what have you. I refuse to be fearful. I am not going to be moved by these things. I will not be terrified. And once you decide that, and I would suggest that you declare these things out loud, you will be far more committed to what you say than to what you think.
That's good.
Once you get the words out there, words have authority, words have power, words commit you to something. And so when you make a declaration of what the Word of God says, then you become more committed to that. And if you will continue that pattern, that word will come alive within you and it will become your new reality. Amen. That's good stuff.
Yes.
All right. Number six. A heart that is established in the Word. A heart that is established in the Word. How do we get our hearts established? Well, get in the Word. Mm. It says, as an example, and there are many such scriptures, but Proverbs 4:20-23. It says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. So we're giving attention and then we're inclining. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of what? Your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. He goes on to say, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Set your heart to meditate, to devour, to pray over, to read, to ask questions. Set your heart to study and to know the Word of God. Start with the promises. Start with who you are in Christ. Start with the promises we're reading in Psalms. Look for other promises. There are so many. Mm. Other declarations. Study the subject of fear versus faith. But take time to get in the Word, because that is where what your reactions are going to be, whatever they are, that's where it's coming from. It's coming from your heart. And so either you're going to be terrified and your heart will fail you from fear, or you're going to be established in the promises of God and you will not be moved and you will not fear. This is what it means to have an established heart. It's powerful. It will change your life. I see too many Christians living on a very superficial level. The only difference between them and anyone else in the world is that they go to church and they believe they're born again, but they haven't taken time to establish their hearts. And I'm not suggesting they're not born again, but why live in fear? Why be shaken by the news? Why let all of these things consume you and steal your faith? Why not get your heart established? Amen. Let's do a couple of more real quick. Mm-hmm. Number 7, a heart that believes in Him. Now, these may sound redundant, but in each one of them, I can make a case for a separate point here. A heart that believes in Him. John 14:1, Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Make a choice to believe in me. The devil believes in God, so that's not, you know, a big deal. Demons believe and tremble. But it says, believe in God, believe also in me. Does your heart have a revelation of Jesus? Mm. Who is Jesus? As Jesus asked Peter, "Who do you say that I am?"
Yeah.
And Peter responded, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father that is in heaven." That's revelation knowledge. We can learn these things in Sunday school or church, but if they're intellectual. But when they are quickened to your spirit, yeah, when they come alive in your heart, that's where the change takes place. And we are able to, when Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled," who is He putting that on? He's putting that on us.
Yeah.
So you make a decision to not let your heart be troubled. Do it. You believe in God, believe in me. Believe in my righteousness, believe in my peace, believe in my joy, believe in my promises, believe in everything that I have given you. And this is how we get established. We don't just say, "Well, yeah, I believe in God. Do you believe in God?" "Yeah, we all believe in God." No, what do you believe about God? In whom do you believe, as Paul says? "I know in whom I have believed."
That's good.
And so do you believe in Jesus? Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in Jesus. Amen. Last one. Praise God. I wish I could go all day here.
I'm sure no one will be disappointed
with
you.
A heart established by grace. Number 8, a heart established by grace. Hebrews 13:9 says, "Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines." I could stop there and talk for 5 minutes. Mm. "For it is good that the heart be established by grace." There are so many weird doctrines running around right now. And people are looking for ways to be different, to attract a crowd, to say something no one's ever heard before. That's not where your heart's going to get established. Your heart is going to get established in the grace of God. Now, my definition from my studies and my walk with God, my definition of grace is God's provision for every need you have, spirit, soul, and body. It has all been provided for.
Amen.
And by faith, we access that grace, that provision. Let your heart be established in the grace of God, in the goodness of God, in the love of God, in the mercy of God, in the provision of God. Everything that He has done for us, every promise. And I do this a lot when I teach. What has He given you? What has He given you? He's given you His name, the name above all names. You can proclaim the name of Jesus. He's given you His blood that has washed you clean. He's given you His Spirit that lives in you and made you one spirit with Him. He's given you a better covenant. Praise God, He's obligated Himself to His covenant for your sake. He's given you better promises that are all yes and amen. All the promises of God are yes and amen. He's given you the gifts of the Spirit, all of the tools that we need to minister and bless each other. He's given you the fruit of the Spirit. He's given you the Word of God. He's given you the armor of God, amen, which all the different aspects of that. He's given you His authority. Praise God. He's given you the keys to His kingdom. And most people don't even know that, what I'm even talking about there. But there's a lot of revelation there in all that He's given us. All of that wrapped up together, we can say that is His grace.
Yeah.
It's the grace of God. And if we would be established in His grace, then we can have our hearts free from fear, free from trepidation, free from nervousness, free from doubt, free from all the grief that's going on around us. And we could be the light in the darkness for people that are freaking out. We can bring peace to them. We can share the word with them. But we first have to be established. We have to be established in His. Let me go through it real quick with you, just as a review here. We'll be established in righteousness. We should be established in seeking Him continually. We seek first Him, His kingdom. We should have a heart established in praise and thanksgiving. We shouldn't ever have a grumpy day, though I know we do. I do. But I go back. I'm going to praise God. I will choose to praise the Lord. We should have a heart that's fully persuaded of His goodness, fully persuaded of His goodness. We should have a heart that isn't surprised. I'm surprised that people are surprised about the times in which we live. People are freaking out. I'm thinking, have you read the book? I mean, the last days, and I don't know if we're in the last of the last days, but things don't get better. Things tend to fall apart here. Why does that surprise you? We should not be fearful of change. Yeah. We shouldn't be surprised. A heart that is established in the Word. Give attention to the Word. Incline your ear to the Word. Guard your heart. Let it be filled and fed only by the Word and not by the stuff of the world. Amen. A heart that believes in Him, fully the full revelation of Jesus in you. Praise God that we are complete in Christ. Amen. And we could go on and on and on. And then finally, a heart established in grace. Everything that God has given to us, all the blessings of God, are you established in that? And if we can get ourselves into this place, you're going to be the victor. You're not going to be overcome by the things of the world. You are going to be the overcomer. And that's what God has called us to.
Amen.
Amen?
Yeah.
All right.
That's awesome.
Good.
So good. I've taken a lot of notes. I'm loving this. We've also had a lot of questions. You've triggered a lot of questions.
What's new?
But they're good. And what I've kind of had a quick glance through them. And they're all kind of on the same thing, but from different angles. So I'm going to, hopefully we can get through them.
Give me the easy ones.
All right. First easy one. What if our fear, so E. Shepherd on YouTube is asking, what if our fear is linked to others' use of their free will? I know God is doing His part, but the possibility of someone not listening to Him can cause fear.
Obviously, we live in a fallen world, and we live in a world full of fallen people that have free will, and they can make choices that can impact us. So we're not talking about being free from being affected. Things can affect our lives. Circumstances can change in our lives. That's not my point. My point is, if they do change or if something does happen, how are you going to respond to it? From fear or from an established heart, from the peace of God? And your faith cannot flow from fear. Faith to overcome can only flow from the peace of God. And so that's why it is so important that we be established in His peace, where, as David said, I will not fear. I will not fear. And so it's not that people can't make decisions that impact you negatively. They can. But how are you going to respond? From anger, from emotions, from fear, or from faith? And faith can only come from a heart that is established in His peace.
That's awesome. I know sometimes it's hard to have peace when someone else is messing up so bad. And you're like, oh my goodness, can you not see what you're doing to yourself? You know, I'm fearful for you, you know, but to keep yourself in peace over their actions.
Well, and we need empathy and we need compassion on those that are suffering or those that are making dumb decisions. But I cannot carry their load. I cannot live their life. I can pray for them. I can offer assistance if they come to me. But I can't carry their burden. Jesus did that already, and so I'm not going to try to replicate that. But I can minister to them from a place of peace and hopefully entice them to walk that same way.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, Mandy on chat is asking, is there a way to simply accept situations and circumstances in your life, even though they bring about anxiety or fear? She says, I can trust God with my finances, but if bills aren't paid, do I just accept living with that fear? Do I just ignore that there is financial uncertainty? She's asking this after she's already done all that she possibly can in this situation.
Well, I didn't hear her mention, and I'm not correcting you, but I'm just saying, where is your relationship with God? Where is your trust in God? Where is the provision of God that has been made available to us? Or are you only trying to solve these situations in your own strength, with your own resources and your own intellect? And that's what we're usually drawn to is, am I smart enough to get through this? Do I have the resources to get through this? Do I have the emotional stability to get through this? How can I get through this? And basically, you've just eliminated God from the equation. Mm-hmm. We have got to believe that God is on our side and that there is supernatural power available to us to open doors that we didn't expect, to bring blessing we weren't aware of. We have to get God involved in our lives and rather than just seeing how we can figure things out. And so I'm growing in this area. Where it's not just I can do all things through me who strengthens me.
Oh, yeah.
That doesn't work. So I have to trust that, that God is going before me. God has a way. God has a provision. That's the grace of God. We've got to get our faith in God. It says in Mark 11:22, have faith in God. And then in one of the Timothys, I forget which one, I know in whom I have believed. We've got to have our faith in the reality of the person of Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, that can provide for us when our limitations are obvious, but He can open a door. He can bring something. And so I would say, don't just look to all of your resources intellectually or materially, but look to the power of God in your life and bring that into the equation.
Amen. You know how many times I've seen that play out at Charis, you know, when we have some students who, you know, they're going through some financial difficulties because they've, you know, starting a new life, new job, school and all that. And they like, okay, my paycheck is this much and my bills are this much. But when they realize that that paycheck is not their source, that God is their source, He comes through so many times.
Amen.
And I love the testimonies.
Oh.
It blesses me so much, and I see it all the time.
Yes.
God, He works way out of our radar of how we think He's going to work,
you know,
and supply and come through for us.
And what I'm sharing today isn't just how can I improve my natural life. What I'm sharing is how can I get founded in the supernatural life?
Mm.
How can I get grounded in the potential that's out there that I haven't tapped into? And I haven't tapped into it perhaps because I'm living in fear, I'm living in nervousness, I'm feeding myself on junk, and therefore I don't have access to what is available. But once you begin to make these choices, then you begin to understand God has resources for you that you had cut yourself off from.
Yeah.
And that I have. I'm not talking to any particular person here, that we've all done this. We've tried to look to ourselves for our answer. And we say a prayer to God, God, please bless what I now do. And and God, well, I could have helped you, but you're not calling on me.
Yeah.
So,
This is good. Okay. Rachel on YouTube asks, when you're in a situation where the physical symptoms feel like they are screaming at you, what's the first thing you do to keep fear from overtaking?
I begin, and I did this even today, I begin to declare the power of God, the word of God, the promises of God. I declare, I speak to my body, if that's what we're talking about, or I'll speak to circumstances that are not what I know God wants. I will speak out loud. And as I say, you are more committed to that which you speak than to that which you think. I don't just think about these things. I speak them out loud.
Mm.
I declare them. And I declare promises, and I go to the Word, and I read the Word, and it says here, Lord, this, 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 and this. I agree with that. I speak that out now. And so I don't just limit myself to me, because that's not good enough, and to whatever I think I know. I've got to call upon the depths of the promises, of the grace, of the provision of God, and expect Him, blessing I will bless you, multiplying I will multiply you. That's what I'm looking for.
That's awesome. That's really, really good. Okay, Miles on YouTube is asking, does God close doors because of continuing sin that I struggle with for years, similar to when David was not allowed to build the temple because of all the bloodshed?
Does God close doors? I think doors close, whether it's, I mean, if you sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. And so if we walk in a particular way that is not accessing the grace and the blessings of God, yeah, we're closing our own doors in a sense.
Right.
So I don't want to get in theological debate there about who's closing the doors. But when we walk in the flesh, doors are closing. And when we walk in the Spirit, doors are opening. And if we have our heart established and if our heart is hungry, you are going to spend time with what you value. And if you value the things I've been talking about, you'll spend time in these areas and you will see blessings begin to overtake you. But if you continue to value other sources of fuel for your life, be it news, entertainment, lust of the flesh, alcohol, whatever, if that's what's feeding you, then this is going to be a hard road to hoe for you, because you're closing your own doors.
Mm. That's really good. Okay, Jacqueline on Facebook is asking, how can you encourage a person who always complains but never wants to hear about the word of prayer?
Well, I know there are people out there, and that's their lifestyle, is to complain, to gossip, to criticize. I understand that there are folks out there like that. At some point, you'll probably have to establish some boundaries to where you can't allow that person to fuel your life or to detract from what God is calling you to do. In other words, sometimes you just can't help people right now because they don't want it. And you may have to wait until, as the prodigal son, it says he came to himself in the pig pen. All right. Some people just have to come to the pig pen and come to themselves, and then you can help them. But while they're stiffened against you and they don't want to hear what you have to say, you know, you're wasting your time, really. They've closed their hearts to the things of God. And so you don't want to be rude. You want to be loving. You want to pray for them. But you do need to set some boundaries as to how far you will go with that person, that conversation, that circumstance, and withdraw yourself if possible.
Yeah. And sometimes, like, even, and I think Ricky was talking about this the other day, a similar question came in, but even just being an example of the light, hopefully they will go, okay, why are you not freaking out right now? Then that opens the door for you to perhaps say something, you know.
Yeah, when people see your peace and your steadfastness, they should be asking questions. If they don't, then, you know, move on to someone who will.
Right.
But it should, you know, we're going to see this more and more in the world in which we live as things tend to fall apart. We have got to be the light, as you said, in the darkness. We have got to be the pillars of peace and joy. We've got to have the answer so that people can come to us.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. I think we've got time for one or two more. We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
Okay. So Barbara on Facebook is asking, if you don't have the manifestation of your healing, does it mean that you are in unbelief?
Not necessarily. Healing can be a journey. I went through a journey. And it's, your body is designed to heal itself. But sometimes it becomes so overwhelmed with whatever, in my case it was cancer, certain kind of cancer, that I needed some assistance in that healing journey. It wasn't that what I went through medically healed me. It can't. But it can assist my body to heal itself.
Right.
And so that was a journey. It took some time. Not all healing is instant. Even in the scriptures we can find healings that took time. So I want to encourage people to not feel condemned or not feel down about not getting an instantaneous miracle. Those are great when they happen. I've had them. Many of you have had them. But this past time, I didn't get the miracle that I would have preferred. I got the journey. And so the journey was long, but healing was still working. It's still God that's healing me because healing comes from God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm so glad you're healed and with us today. Thank you, Barry. Today has been wonderful. As always, I say this at every Bible study. I thoroughly enjoy this. And I hope you've been really blessed by watching today. Once again, lots of questions came in, so I apologize. We've run out of time.
I'll be here Tuesday, and I'll get to as many as I can.
There we go. All right. So tune in on Tuesday, 3 o'clock, right?
Right.
And yes, hopefully Barry can get to most of these questions. But for now, have a wonderful weekend, and live Bible study will be back on Monday at 10 a.m. God bless you.
Join us every weekday for our daily live stream on Gospel Truth TV.